You may grab your seats, church. Cool. Isn't it great to be in the house of God this morning? Yes, it's good, isn't it? Well, Pastor Barry is in Ghana this week, and he is preaching out there. He sent some messages to us, and he's having such an amazing time, such a response and a presence of God in the meetings, and he's having a brilliant time. And so you've got me this morning, people. So I have a message for you. But I was thinking about how Pastor Barry opens up a sermon. And often, over the last few months, I've noticed there's been a pattern. And there's been a pattern in his sermon opening. And it's always directed at Io. And I thought, you know, this week, should we go there? Because I thought, let's do something different. You know, normally he would mention Io's love of Arsenal Football Club. He would then mention that Io is not as tall Io at the back there. And then last week, we got the green Nigerian socks in the breach, didn't we? And so I thought, I can't do the same and keep going on about Io. But I thought what I'd tell you about Io is something that you might not know. Io is not just what you see on a Sunday. Io is so invested in this church, which means you as people, that he does so much during the week to mentor people, to help people, to plan, to prepare a preach. And he's even influenced Isaac Mulvey in his outfit today. I mean, stand up, Isaac, stand up, Io. This is what I'm talking about. There you go. So it's not just football and hype. There's an influencer in this man this morning. So there you go. And he's already forgiven me because he's that good. But are you ready for a message this morning? Cool. So I want lots of interaction this morning. I want you to be loud this morning. You can chuck stuff at me if you want. But what is our theme for this year, church? Shout it out. Faith, that's brilliant. This side, that was brilliant. This side, what is the theme? Faith, thank you. That's it, faith. So we are on a journey about faith, and I'm excited to share a part of this theme with you this morning. So Hebrews 11, verse 1, we need to get this one in our hearts for this year, people. Now, faith is the confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And I want to stir you this morning that faith is our firm belief. It's our conviction. We can stand on it. As I can sit on a chair this morning and I have faith that that chair is not going to collapse this morning. We can have faith and conviction because of our God. Because our faith is not positive thinking. It's not wishful thinking. It's not hopeful thinking. But it's in our living God that is able to do everything and do more than we can ask or imagine. And this year is a journey about you developing your faith. That it's your responsibility to develop the seed of faith that God has put within you. So we're going to be on an exciting journey together this year through faith. So the rest of Hebrews 11 is actually a hall of fame of people in the Old Testament that had stories of faith. And I want to encourage you to read through it. So I have summarized it for you this morning because it talks about so many people that you will know their stories through the Word of God, but how they lived by faith. And it starts off, there's Abel who by faith, and then there's Enoch by faith, and then it goes Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Rahab, Gideon, and a long list of all these people. And you will know many of their stories. We preach about their stories. We read about their stories. And we will know that they lived by faith. And I want to encourage you this morning. Are you going to be in the Hall of Fame one day when somebody would say, that man or that woman, they lived by faith? Because we have an opportunity to live by faith. And the beauty of us is with our Bible that we get to see the end of their story. But in our own story, we don't get to see the end yet. But somebody will one day. And I want to say, I want people to say, oh, she lived by faith. Or he lived by faith. And that we can be part of this hall of fame of the people that live by faith. And some of the stories they lived by faith was like Noah. Noah got called to build an ark when he'd never seen rain before. There was no IKEA back then, people. There was no instruction manual. This is what look, you know, how you build an ark. But year after year after year, by faith, he built that ark when people were taking the mickey out of him and laughing. Oh, you're standing on God in it. What even is an ark? Where's the rain, Noah? There was Sarah, who year after year, pregnancy test after pregnancy test, was still not pregnant. What were people saying about her? What did friends say behind her back? That's wishful thinking. She's 90. She's coming up to 90 years old. She should be going into a care home, not changing nappies. This is a story of faith, but she stood on the faith of what God had promised them. And she had her Isaac. And so I want to stir you up this morning. What faith are you standing on? What are you believing for this year? What are you going to be said that will say, Jerry by faith, or Risha by faith, or Josh by faith? Come on, we've got a story. And so I pray that this preach would really stir up your faith this morning. Ephesians 2, verses 8 to 9. For it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. You see, faith is a gift. It's a gift for us to have faith in a mighty God. And we can develop that gift. It's like the gift that keeps on giving. It's a gift that we can develop in our lives, that we're people that stand by faith, not by sight. Not by circumstances, that your story started with faith. Hands up if you're a Christian here. If you've given your life to Jesus this morning, put your hand up for me. So that's faith, that you've stepped out and believed in a God that you haven't seen, that you've somebody's told you, come to church. Someone in your family has told you about the journey of faith in their life, that you've started to unpack the gospel. You've been saved and set free and delivered. You're on a journey of faith that takes faith. So give yourselves a round of applause this morning. But it doesn't stop there, because your faith develops over time as you learn to trust in Almighty God, as you step out in faith in your life, in your career, in relationships, in your ministry, in your health situations. As you step out and you trust Almighty God, you will see that he's the same yesterday, today and forever. If he did it for Sarah and Noah, he can do it for you. It's the same God. I want to stir you up with that this morning. And I want to ask you if you've ever met some crazy faith people, some real fiery faith people. Yeah, come on, we've all met those people. You know those people, I love it because Beth actually put her hand up there and I like that because this is where I want to go with it. Well done, Beth. Did you read my notes? No. But crazy faith people are those that are standing in the middle of the most difficult situation or circumstances and they are not standing there like, but they are standing there like, God, you're going to break through. God, I'm going to see the freedom. God, there's going to be a healing. God, there's going to be a miracle. God, I trust you. Yes, there might be zero in the bank, but heaven is not bankrupt. Heaven is flourishing. And I call on heaven and I call on my God to bring about breakthrough in my situation. You see, crazy faith people, the one you see dancing down the front, and they've had the worst week ever, but it doesn't matter because God is in control, that Jesus, you're in control. They're the crazy faith people. That they are believing for crazy things this year. They are believing for salvation in that family member that said they will never give their life to Jesus. Well, they're going to keep praying and they're going to keep declaring it and they're going to keep believing it so that they come into relationship with Jesus. They're believing for the breakthrough in their finances, breakthrough in the career, in relationships, in health. They are the crazy faith people. And I want to say you're a crazy faith person. You are a crazy faith person. God has called you to live a life that is loud and bold and that declares his goodness everywhere you walk. That we're called to be those people that when we're in the world situation, oh, cost of living, all going downhill. Yeah, it might be in the world, but it's not in heaven. And my God will provide for my need according to his riches in glory. We've got to take the word and the truth of the word and be crazy faith people. So turn to somebody and say, you're crazy in a good way. Yes, brilliant. Fiery faith people. So we're going to look at a story in the Bible about three young men that had fiery faith. And you'll see where I'm going with this morning. And it's in the book of Daniel, and it's three Jewish young men. And what's happened is King Nebuchadnezzar, anyone spell that one? Yeah, just check in there. Yeah, King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, he has besieged Jerusalem. He has overtaken Jerusalem. And what they used to do then, they wouldn't only plunder all of the gold and all of the things that they had in the country, they would take the people. They would take them into exile. They'd take them out of their homeland and their culture, and they would put them into their land. So these Jewish guys were taken and to Babylon. And in Babylon, it was a completely different culture to what they'd grown up in. You see, they served Jehovah. They knew the word of God. They lived under God's law. But Babylon was full of completely the opposite of Jehovah God. they believed in astrologers and they had sorcerers and they had everything idol set up. It was a horrible, horrible culture to live in. They believed in all the falseness of these gods. And so these men were plucked out of what they knew, what they'd grown up, where their faith was based, and put into a place that was completely alien to them. And the role of King Nebuchadnezzar was to try and get them to commit to the culture, to try and get them to come under the astrologers and the sorcerers, to come under the false idol worship, to be immersed in it, to almost forget their identity. He even renamed these three men, took away their Jewish names and gave them Babylonian names. But they were in this culture, and you know what I love about these men? Is they didn't submit to the culture of the day. They decided to be consecrated, which we learned all about last week, decided to be set apart, to stand out. And they were set apart and they rose in rank in the government there with Daniel, as you'd know the story of Daniel in the Bible. And they rose up because Nebuchadnezzar could see what was on their life, but he still wanted them immersed in the culture. But they said no to being immersed in the culture of the day. We will not bow down to the falsehood of the culture. We will not be submitted to what is being pushed on us, which is going to try and confine us and conform us to a certain pattern. And I want to say, church, we are culture changers. The church is a culture changer. And we are called not to come under the influence of this world, to not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And I'm talking about the culture of today, because anywhere you go today outside of the church, there is a very hopeless world out there. There's a very disappointed and disillusioned people out there. You can feel like you get sucked into something when you spend time with people who haven't got their faith in God. Because where's their faith? Their faith is in their job or their family or their spouse. They haven't got faith and hope in Almighty God. And so they're running this race the whole time, but with no goal because they haven't had that relationship with God. And there's a culture in this world that wants to seal us in, that wants to get into us. But we, the church of God, the ones who have faith, are called not to bow down to the culture, but rise up in our faith and tell people the good news of Jesus, that today he still heals and he sets free and he delivers and he changes circumstances. That is the God that we serve. And we have a message that we won't come under, but we will be over because of who God is in our lives. Now, many of you will be familiar with the term algorithms on your phone. So if we talk enough today about golf, and we go on and on about golf, your social media will pop up with something about golf, because our phones are listening to us, as we perhaps know this. And then if we search something online like IO, you know, Arsenal Football Club, then he will get lots of things about Arsenal come through on his phone. Pray for him. Because he has Googled Arsenal Football Club. And so it picks up stuff on your phone and it will give you suggestions. Oh, you've looked at this. You might like this. And before you know it, the phone is directing the pattern of your life and it puts suggestions. You might not have been thinking about curry for dinner, but as soon as it come up there, oh, that Gelfrazy. Oh, I don't fancy the bolognese tonight because Gelfrazy has been put on my algorithms and we need to go for a curry. This is what happens. But even that, as we joke about it, it is a conforming us. There is a rhythm that is being in your life and around your life through phones. There's a rhythm, but I want to tell you there's a different rhythm. There's a rhythm of faith and of grace and of hope and of love and of mercy that God has for your life. So don't be conformed to how the world wants to squash you and squeeze you. You know, you could read anything in the paper online today and you will fear for your life. I can't do that because I might get this. I might have this. I'm ill in this. I can't put my finances there. The whole economy is going down. What about my mortgage? What about this? We can go through this whole thing. And yet, church, God is saying, rise above the culture of the world. That there is hope in me. These three young men, from a young age, they memorized and they knew the scriptures. They knew the word of God. So it was easy in a sense for them not to conform to the culture of the time because they knew it didn't line up with the word. They knew that they were set apart. They knew that they could not dilute the word of God because they knew it was where their strength was. I want to challenge us today with our word. We have got to know the word of God. the true word of God, not an adaptation of the word, not the things that suit us, but the whole word of God, because that's our belt of truth, guys, that when we're living in this world, because you know, faith, you have to fight for your faith. There's a battle for your faith, because it's easy to get sucked in the culture of that's just wishful thinking. That's never going to happen for you. But my God says something different, because as we've looked at the hall of fame and the hall of faith of these people, if he did it for them, he can do it for you. If he did it back then, he can do it now. Because the pattern of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he is good all the time. God is good. So we need to get battle ready with the word of God for every situation. So I encourage you this year, go a bit deeper. Go a little bit deeper. Because God wants to reveal some stuff to you. And the answers to things you are facing today, the troubles in your life, I tell you, they're found in the word of God. And he will direct you and guide you by his spirit. So we go back to these three young men. We're going to get their names out in a minute. Some of you already know them. But in Nebuchadnezzar's time and the culture, so he besieged Jerusalem. These people are living in Babylon. He'd chosen the best of the best in these young men. And he decided then to go one step further. He said, you know what we're going to do? I'm going to set up a huge image of gold. And every time the orchestra sounds up, everybody must bow down to this huge image of gold. So there'll be all these different types of instruments that we'll read in the word in a minute. And it's literally like, oh, the music's come. Right, let's bow down and worship this gold statue. But these three men would not bow down because it didn't line up with the word. Because there's one true God. There's Jehovah. I'm not going to bow down to all these false gods. I'm not going to come under all the sorcery and the things of the time. We are not going to bow down. So this is what happens in Daniel 3 verses 8 to 12. At this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, may the king live forever. Your majesty has issued a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold, and that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews whom you've set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, your majesty. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you've set up. So these three young men were like, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to defile ourselves. We're not going to bow down. And so, of course, the servants have gone to the king and said, oh, there's people that are not going to do what you've said you're going to do. And, you know, it reminds me of today in the culture, what's coming against the church. As we know, a lot of stuff's going on in our world that people want to come against what the word of God says. They want to twist what God says on identity, twist what God says on the holiness of marriage and on raising children, twist so much in what the word of God says. And do you know what, church? We need to stand up for what the word of God says. And when we stand up, it might be some scary faith, but it's the right faith because we're going by what our Bible says, by what our God says, and God will deliver us, and God will give us the words to say, and God will help us in the world that we live in. But not only that, in the culture today, we come against opinions. We come against a culture where there is disappointment, where there's hopelessness. And I want to say, what are you bowing down to? What has the culture and the circumstances of your life today got you to a place of, oh, well, it's never going to happen for me? That I had faith, but that person was still sick. That I've pressed through, but I just haven't had the breakthrough. That I'm believing you, God, but okay, it's not going to happen for me. It's going to happen for them, but I can't believe it's going to happen for me. That maybe we bow down to a level of disappointment. Maybe we bow down to fear. There's so much fear about. Maybe it comes at us. Fear can attack us. And in the end, we've almost given into it, so we haven't meant to. But somehow on the inside, we've bowed down a bit to fear. We've bowed down to the culture or sickness or torment or to the dilution of God's word that we've just gone with the crowd on that one. But I want to say to you today, church, it's time to rise up in faith. It's time to rise up in faith. It's time to change the culture and not be changed by the culture. It's time for us to speak the truth in love through the word of God and see people's lives transformed and changed. Because you can't change the word of God. And God's word will be till the end of days. His word remains. His truth remains. And so I want to encourage you that it's time to rise up in faith. You see, it was very risky for these three young men to stand up for what they believed. And I think, wow, imagine that in that situation, that circumstance. Put yourself in the story this morning. But these three young men decided not to waver. They didn't have a wobble. They decided to go through with it. Well, that's not what my Bible says. That's not what my God says. That will defile me as a person. So therefore, I will stand for the truth even unto death. That is powerful. So of course, Nebuchadnezzar was furious by what he'd heard. He was like, what, they're not going to bow down to the idol? They're in my country, they're under my kingship, my authority, they are called to bow down. When I say everyone, it's a decree of the land, they have to do it. He was furious. Now, when I read the first part of Daniel 3, verses 13 to 15, this always reminds me of, does anyone remember the story Rumpelstiltskin? The kid's story? Furious with rage. For some reason, I just imagine that Nebuchadnezzar is just like jumping around like Rumpelstiltskin when he doesn't know the name. But there we go. That's just where my mind goes, people. But furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are not ready to fall down and worship the image I've made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? They go through a time of testing. They're called and summoned to him. If you don't bow down, you're going to be thrown into a fiery furnace and that'll be the end of it. And what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? You see, the truth is these three young men knew what God could rescue them from his hand. They knew the God because they spent time with the God. They knew the scriptures. They'd been brought up with the word of God and they knew. But it's a part of testing their faith. You know, your faith will go through times of testing. And I'm sure you've all experienced that. And it's hard and you have to keep going, but you have to keep trusting. But where's your faith? Is it in some hopeless entity? No, it's an almighty God. So I want to encourage you that even when it's a tough fight, even when you're going through the hardest of times, you've got to put your faith in God and say, okay, I'm in it to the end. I'm in it because God, I trust in you. And so they replied to the king with such boldness. Listen to what they said. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him. This is Daniel 3, verse 16 to 18. King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your mighty hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. You see, faith spoke there. How bold of them. I love the way that they say, your majesty. They still honored his position, but they're saying, but my majesty is higher than your majesty, and our God, he will deliver us. But even if he doesn't, that's not a doubt of faith there, but it's saying he will deliver us. But you know what? If he doesn't, we still will not bow down. Even if my God doesn't come through in this situation, I'm not going to bow down to the culture of the world that says, oh, where's your God? Because I'm believing by faith my God will come through at the right time in my situation. They chose not to compromise. And I want to encourage us in our faith walk not to compromise. Even when it feels like it's not going to happen, God is always at work and he's still working. Imagine that moment when they've said to the king, no, we will not bow down. They'd be summoned to the furnace, as we will see in the story. But I want to tell you that we need our stories of faith, church, to encourage one another. Our stories of it didn't look like it was going to work out, but my God stepped in and it worked out. We need to share those stories with one another to encourage us, because when we're going through stuff, other people are going through stuff, and they need to see that God is able and God will show up at the right time. And so I want to share with you some stories of faith in our life, because I think as I share them, it's going to spark something and encourage you. Okay, so I had so many. I was like, thank you, God, that you've given me so many stories of faith to share. But I know that there's probably Arsenal probably paying later, so we can't go on too long. So I thought I have to just, you know, trim it down to a few messages today. So the first story I want to share with you is don't worry, I haven't forgotten where I am. Here we go. I've got so many. I was like, right, which one should I do? Right, the first one is the story of the birth of our second daughter, Jessica. And so obviously we pray the whole way through the pregnancy and that God would bring our baby at the right time and that this baby would be healthy. We didn't know what we were having. It was a surprise. And we're excited for the birth of our child. So I'd gone 10 days overdue. Now, just to say, guys, last week we had circumcision. This week we got birth stories, all right? It's all going on in church this morning. But don't worry, I won't go into too much detail. But I was 10 days overdue. And when you're pregnant with the second one or the third one, you almost, you know what you're looking for. The first time somebody tells you, oh, this is what a contraction is, you're like, what? What's that going to feel like? But when you've had a baby before, you're almost looking for the signs. So I knew that I was in labor. I knew the contractions were coming. And I thought, I'm much further along now than I ever was with my first child. So it's like, right, we need to go to the hospital. So we got to the hospital, went into the room and met the midwife. And so they do all their checks and questions. You know, it's like when you're a bit like, oh, the baby's coming. And they're so calm. And they're, hello, you know, really nice and trying to calm you down and everything. And she said, okay, we'll do some examinations and we'll see how far along you are. So she did that. This is where I'll spare all the blushes for all the men in the room. And so she did that and she said, oh, okay. She said, not that far along. Would you like to go back home and then come back in when you're ready? And at that point, I was like, no, I don't want to go back home because I can feel in my body that this baby is ready to come. And no, I don't want to. So she's literally like, well, don't worry. But should I tell you something? When your waters go, the baby will be born. So I was like, okay. So she went out the room, said, I'll give you a minute to decide, but you might as well go home. So I stood there and it's that moment of, I'd got faith for the delivery of this child. And I believed it. But you know, in that moment, I was like, oh, okay, I feel a lot more in pain than I ever was with my first child. And I know how far along I was at that point. I'm not going to be able to cope. Culture got in. The midwife said the baby's not ready to come. I don't feel well now. I know the baby's going to come. But it's not going to come because it's not ready. And then what if the baby comes and it's not ready and we could be in a terrible situation there? And at this point, people, there wasn't even a bed in the room at the point because we'd sort of been rushed in. And all of a sudden, I just felt this. But do you know what happened in that moment? My husband, a man of faith, stood next to me and he put his hand on my back and he said, in the name of Jesus, waters break. And instantly my waters broke. And then we had to ring the buzzer. The midwife came back in and I promise you, church, exactly what happened. Within one push, our daughter was born and the midwife had to catch our baby. And it was incredible. It was amazing. And she was like, I'm so sorry. I nearly sent you home. And we're like, no, but we knew the baby was ready to come because we knew and believed by faith. But it was the faith of someone else on my behalf that said, in the name of Jesus. And it happened right then. And that's our story to tell. We were in hospital for 25 minutes and our baby was born. Thankfully, not in the car park. But God has been so faithful. And I think of so many times in our lives, stories of financial breakthroughs. You know what it's like? The impact offering comes round and you step out in faith and you put in your biggest pledge of the year. And you put it in, you're like, God, we're believing for faith. That's it, we're going to put it in. We're excited about what you're going to do. And then the months that pass by after that, everything goes wrong. So many things to pay out from. Vehicles go wrong, stuff happens in work and jobs, and a bill pops up that you didn't expect, and you're like, oh, but by faith, believe God, you'll provide for all of our needs according to your riches. And by faith, we have seen God time and time again meet us in that, and we have never not paid our impact offering. We have never gone without because of the goodness of our God. And at time, you stand there thinking, okay, we've got that big tax bill to pay and we've got 2 days to pay it and we still haven't got it, but then God will give us a new contract or God will release something to us or someone will put some money through the door. God has always been faithful financially because we've always chosen to sow even in the difficult times. And I want to encourage you, that's what fiery faith people do. Okay, I haven't got it and I don't think I'm going to get it, but I'm going to sow it because my God is able and my God will bring breakthrough. There's been provision. There has been healings. Again, by faith, the amount of times we have prayed for people, and it's nothing that we do, but it's by faith, and it's calling on the name of Jesus and saying, in the name of Jesus, be made well, and people have been made well. There are babies I have held that doctors have said they will never, ever have children. There is no way they could have children, and yet, by faith, because we have prayed, I've held the baby and said, but that's what my God does. You see, that's what my God does. By faith, we have prayed for people. And I remember one particular person we prayed for. And when we prayed for them, tears were running down their face because they said, I have gone to so many people who have prayed, but there's not been an ounce of faith in their prayers because this situation and this circumstance looks too big. But we're the people that say, no, he's so big that when we pray to him, we'll see the breakthrough and we'll see the miracles. And it's because we trust God with faith. And there's been some scary things of faith. There's been restoration in people's marriages. There's been restoration in people's bodies. There's been addicts that have been set free because we've stood in faith and prayed and believed for it. There's been a church that's been birthed because we stood in faith with eight people in Pastor Barry's front room. And this is what's happened. There's a church. And you know what? I have these stories and there's many more, but I want some new ones. And do you know what? I'd like a new one. And will you stand with me and pray in faith and belief for our own church building? Come on, we're in a year of faith. Let's believe for it. Because I think once we have that, we can do so much more. We can welcome so much more into the ark because we've prepared well. We've laid the foundations and we're going to see what God wants to do in the next 10 years of this church. It's exciting. So be stirred up this morning. Okay, back to these three young men, because we've left them hanging there. Are they going to the fire? But they were, of course, taken to the fiery furnace. And the king Nebuchadnezzar, because he was furious with rage, like Rumpelstiltskin, he then said, oh, set it 7 times hotter. Let's just get it really hot, just to really finish them off, you know, really cook them. And it's interesting, because when you read it in the Word, the soldiers and the guards that took them to the furnace, they died because of the heat of the furnace when they weren't even inside the furnace. Just standing outside, they died. But they put Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the furnace. And then that is the end of the story, because of course they were consumed by the fire and died. That's not the end of the story. No, of course it's not. Because that's the thing. The world will say that's how your story ends. The world will say that's how your circumstance will end up. But my God is the author and finisher of my faith. And he has something more to your story this morning, church. They went into the fire. And you know, in the fire, in fiery faith, as we go through journeys and trials, and we get to that point of, okay, life or death here, I'm in the fire of it. That's where we are refined in the fire. That's where the dross burns off. That's where the unbelief burns off. That's where we come out as pure gold and glorified, because God takes us through something. And then we have a story to say, oh yeah, it looked bad, but my God. That's where we are in that refiner's fire. We are polished. We are glorified for his glory. And so they were tested in the fire. But this is what happens in the fire. And I love the end to this story. Can tell I'm a bit excited this morning, church. Come on, because it's going to be a year of faith and breakthrough. But Daniel 3, verses 24 to 25. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leapt to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there 3 men that were tied up and thrown into the fire? They replied, certainly, your majesty. Yes, we put 3 in there. He said, look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like a son of the gods. See, in this amazing moment, what Nebuchadnezzar saw is what we call a Christophany. And it's where we see Christ. I did a big word there. He's well chuffed. I just see him like, she's got it in there. He's like, yes. Winning back favor with you. Yes, Christophany. And this is where Christ turns up in the Old Testament before he's ever been in the New Testament. Do you see what I mean? Because it's the Son of God. So Nebuchadnezzar is in amaze. He's like, it's the Son of God. Is that Jesus there in the fire? What is he seeing? There was 4 men bound. Now they're free and they're walking around in a furnace that is set 7 times hotter than it should do. And then Jesus is right in the midst of it. You see, I want to tell you this morning, there are people sat here who are saying that God hasn't shown up. But I want to say he's never late and he's going to show up on time. In fact, in this story, he was early. He was early. And you know, sometimes you get to the 11th hour, you know that expression. Sometimes you get to the point of, oh, is this baby coming or not? But then God turns up and he changes the whole trajectory of the story and of your situation. And that's what my God does, and that's what your God does. So people, let's walk by faith and not by sight. oh, well, it looks like this, and oh, it's all doom and gloom. No, when I put my eyes on my Jesus, there is always an answer, and he always shows up, and he always shows up in power and in glory. You know, faith will always do that. It will always bring about an answer when we step out in faith. Because I want to share with you this morning that the walls of Jericho did fall. The Red Sea was parted. Sarah did have Isaac. The blind were healed. The lame walked and the deaf heard. This is all what it says in our Bible. People were set free. Those who were bound were free. Those who were in poverty, God brought out of poverty and into the richness of his glory. And I want to show you this morning that it's the same God, that God can do all these things, that God can break every chain that is around you, that these men were so bound they couldn't get out of their restraints. But God is saying, I'm coming to free some people this morning. People who have come under the culture of doubt and disbelief and disappointment, and it can never happen. God is saying, I'm coming on time today to say to you, rise up in your faith. You serve a mighty God who is able. So let's give a clap for our God this morning, church. Thank you. In Daniel 3, verse 28, then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own. You see, Nebuchadnezzar saw the presence of God in the fire. He saw that these men had stood by their faith, and it was only their God that could have rescued them. What did he say at the beginning? Which God will be able to rescue you? Well, the one true God will rescue us from this fire. And because of that, he saw the presence of God and his life was changed and transformed. You see, our faith journey and the stories that we go through are never just about us, but they're about each other. Because somebody else is looking in at your life and seeing what God is doing in your story. They are with you when it seems like the times are so hard and there'll never be a breakthrough in that situation. They're there in the ill health. They're there when the marriage looks like it's on the rocks. But then they'll be there at the end when they're like, wow, only a living God could have done that. That there was no therapist, there was no doctor, there was no good advice that could have brought that breakthrough, but only the one true living God, because he is able. And I want to stir you with that this morning in your faith. It then changed Nebuchadnezzar's mindset, because then as you read the rest of the chapter, he goes on to say, oh, nobody now in the land, this is the new decree, nobody can say anything against this God. Because this is the one true God. And so it changed the whole nation. Babylon became different because of three men that had some fiery, crazy faith that decided to step out in the word of God and believe for a different outcome, even if it cost them their lives. They decided just to go for it. So can we be stirred up with faith this morning, church? Your faith points to Jesus. People will acknowledge Jesus because of your life. And you know what it's like as you go through life and circumstances and situations? Even people in our family and our friends, they're well-meaning, but they'll be like, oh, maybe don't get your hopes up. Yeah, don't get your hopes up, but get your faith up. Because it's not hopes and it's not in something that's, oh, just positivity. It's in Almighty God. And so I want to challenge you and just to get your mindset on faith. Where is your faith at this morning? What are you going to do with the seed and the gift of faith that God has given you? Are you going to be a crazy faith person this morning? Because God always does more than we can ask, think, or imagine. Ephesians 3, verses 20 to 21. To him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And I love that, because through our stories, through the trials and triumphs of our lives, God is glorified, because it points people to him. And I want to challenge you in that this morning and encourage you in that, that God is getting some glory out of your life. It might be hard and it might be, oh, this is a slog at the moment, but God is going to get some glory out of it. And he's with you in the fire. There's some people going through some stuff this morning, and I don't know, but my God knows what you're going through. He knows what you're facing. He knows the things that are going on. He knows how you feel. It will never lift what is happening in your life. But I want to assure you that there's another in the fire. And he's standing there with you. He's in the fire with you. And he's the one that will take off the restraints. He will unbind you. And he will see you set free. So if you're ready to go on a journey of faith this year, of wherever you are with it, if you want to be one of those crazy faith people, I'd ask you to stand up this morning because I'd love to pray with you and invite the worship team back up. That would be great. I think it's great, church, that we don't have to rely on our own wisdom. We don't have to rely on our own ideas, our own adventures, but we rely on Almighty God. And he is a God of faith. And I know that the Holy Spirit wants to move and do some stuff this morning because he is a mighty God. And he wants to step into your situation and give you that hope, knowing that God is in control. So I'm going to pray this morning. So just engage. I'm going to close your eyes, lift your hands, whatever you want to do. First of all, I want to give an opportunity this morning. Maybe you've never accepted this gift of faith. You've never gone on this journey of accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If that's you, I'd love to invite you to join us with a prayer this morning so that you can make that commitment. If that's you, just give me a wave, your hand this morning. That's it, I see your hand. So we're going to pray. If I say a line, you guys say a line. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for my sin. Thank you that you made a way for me to have relationship with the Father. Today, I say yes to you. I will follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. If you've made that commitment this morning, please go to the connections tent and share that with somebody. They'd love to chat that through with you. But now for everyone else, I just want to pray. If you're in a place where you think, I need a little bit more faith, I need a little bit more crazy faith, will you just raise your hand and you can put it back down so I know I'm praying for? Come on, that's it, I see it. More importantly, God sees your hand. Come on, we could all do with a little bit more faith this morning. So Father God, I want to thank you that you've given us the gift of faith. I want to thank you that we can choose to grow in that faith. Father, I pray that we would make a decision this morning to consciously say, I'm going to go deeper in my faith with you, God. That I decide to trust you. That I wouldn't put protection around myself of my self-sufficiency, but I would choose to step into faith with Almighty God. I pray, Lord God, that people would just know they can lean into you as they go deeper in faith. Father, you're with us through every triumph. You're with us through every trial. You are there guiding us and showing us the way forward. I want to thank you, Lord God, that as we choose to make that decision to go deeper in faith, Lord God, that when we go through that journey, you are there, Lord God. I want to pray, Father, that you would reignite faith for hopes and dreams in this house this morning, for dreams that have been shelved because it didn't seem possible, for things that naturally where people have said, that will never happen for you. I want to pay a breaking off of that this morning, Lord God, and people by faith would believe what you have said over their lives, Lord God, that your promises are yes and amen. I pray, Father, we would use our voices to declare faith over our lives, Lord God. We would prophesy futures that are good, Lord God. I declare that every person would be able to use every gift and every talent you have put in them, Father, for your glory. I declare open doors in work situations for people. I pray that people would come with that faith to you, Lord God, and say, make a way in this situation. God, you are a way maker. You break through, Lord God. I pray for health situations, for people that are ill today, Lord God. I pray that you will make them well, Father. I pray for those, maybe you've had that diagnosis, you'll never have children. I want to break that off you in Jesus' name and so that you will be able to have children. I want to pray, Lord God, for those in deepest things that people are going through where they've not even shared it with anyone else. Father, they would have faith to know that you can change every circumstance and every situation. Lord God, we want to be that church that has faith for salvation. We want to believe for those 20 salvations this year, Lord God. But we want to believe for the more, Father. We have faith, Lord God, for a building, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, that some trust in horses and some trust in chariots. But we trust in Almighty God. And we want to raise up as your church and your people of faith. So we thank you for what you've done. Seal in what you've done, Lord God, in people's hearts this morning. And as we decide to journey with you, Lord God, let us have some outrageous stories of your goodness and of your faith, Lord God, when we took you at your word in your mighty name. Amen. Amen.